Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers with a mission as simple, kill big deer. Today, joining us, we have a MLB pitcher, a devout Christian, a local hometown hero, Mr. Sam Coonrod. Sam, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. We met at Tim's Service. I feel like I know you a lot more than I probably should, just from your, you know, families and relationships with Lauren and her family. But I'm excited to be able to get some questions in and learn more about you. First off, most people around here are going to know, you know, high school athlete, multi-sports, I'm imagining. Tell me a little bit about your high school come up in terms of athletics and being from Carrollton.
Yeah, so I went to Carrollton from 2007 to 2011.
Okay.
I did 4 years of baseball, 4 years of basketball, 4 years of football.
Okay.
And we ended up having quite a bit of success in all of those.
Yeah.
It was just a great high school career. I mean, I'm sure as Lauren's told you, it's a good place to raise kids.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, with the baseball, that obviously is where you excelled the most.
Yeah.
I cheated. I looked at your Wikipedia today, and state championship senior year, mm-hmm. along with 5 shutouts.
Something like that. I don't know all the numbers, but we did win state. My brother was on the team. He's a year younger than me. And then we had just a bunch of other really good players on the team. We just all came together, and it was a really fun year. It was in 2011.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's an interesting dynamic with your brother. Mm-hmm. My understanding is best man speech. You gave him a little ode to him being actually the better athlete.
He is. Yeah, for sure. It's just the truth. He was better than me at pretty much everything. I threw a little bit harder.
Okay.
Not a lot, though, only probably a couple miles an hour harder. And
okay.
He was actually the better pitcher, though, and definitely the better hitter and definitely the better fielder. So,
okay.
Yeah, we just had, like I said, we had a bunch of other good players, too, and it was just so much fun because it was – unfortunately, the only team we lost to was Jerseyville that year.
Really?
We got beat by Jerseyville. We were not very happy about that, but, hey, credit to them.
Yeah. All right. Now, after full college career, mm-hmm. which we talked a little bit before this. I mean, my experience in college athletics was short-lived. My brother didn't make it through. Mm-hmm. My niece started in college. I have a nephew that completed all 4 years and is now playing overseas. I don't know if people understand the type of commitment that it takes to complete a college career.
It is constant. It's all the time. It kind of feels like a job sometimes.
Right.
In college, especially, because you're doing – it's not like professionally, but it is you got to get your schoolwork done and do all their work.
That was my problem, was the schoolwork.
Oh, it's a lot.
Yeah, and then what are you going to do as a young kid Saturday?
Yeah.
The discipline.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I don't think I had that. I just don't think I had the build up to that to understand what I needed to do. And so every time somebody competes and finishes the program in college, that means so much to me. That's such a big accolade in itself. Because college athletics, man, it teaches you a lot.
It really does. I think that's why a lot of companies hire those people.
Yeah.
I mean, they know how to be part of a team.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That is a great idea.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. So SIU and talk to me a little bit about going local for college.
Yeah, so basically what happened was I was pitching. I was extremely physically and mentally immature as a kid. Like, a lot of kids will grow early, and I was late, super okay. late. I think I was 5'8", 105 pounds my freshman year.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I ended that my freshman year of college when I did my physical. I was the same height now, 6'2", mm-hmm. 159. So I was a super skinny kid, just okay. not late bloomer and everything. But in high school, I always had a good arm, but it just had – the physical maturity had never clicked. And what happened was each year I just kept getting, like, a little bit better. And my junior year is whenever it started to, like, show that I was able to play in college. Mm-hmm. And that's when people would start calling me, asking me if I wanted to go to their college, hey, we'll sign you now type thing. And eventually I was at, I think the State Journal Register All-Star Game, the one in Springfield. And SIU, Carbondale's coach was there, and he had ended up calling me, coming to my house,
okay.
and asked me if I wanted to go there. And at this point I'm throwing probably like 88, 89 miles an hour as a junior, really skinny junior. And I ended up saying yeah. And so I can't say for sure if at the time, because I didn't know how the experience was going to be, which was great,
mm-hmm.
if I would have went there if I didn't say yes at that time, because okay. I started getting a lot better the following year.
Okay.
And I could have attracted other attention. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm glad that I did what I did. Very okay. happy with it. Yeah.
Well, so another thing, and I've learned this, my best friend's kid is – man, when Nintendo Wii came out,
mm-hmm.
like he was just, he was a little kid and he'd just shake with that controller, mm-hmm. like shake waiting for that
yeah.
pitch.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just stood out. And he just graduated from a D3 college. He mm-hmm. was the number one stick in Division III. And watching him go through that, mm-hmm. it was like, there is so much competition in baseball.
Oh gosh.
And the different aspects to trying to compete. I think baseball's got to be the toughest sport for that.
According to Deion Sanders, who is about as good as it gets,
yeah.
he says that baseball is the hardest game there is. And, I mean, he played
yeah.
both of them. So
yeah.
football, obviously hard. But to hit a little round ball with a little round bat is hard to do.
Yeah.
It's just so hard. It's so difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Side note, I've got a guy hunts with us. He pitched for Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He actually got drafted to mm-hmm. the Twins last year.
Mm.
And while he was up hunting, he needed to throw a bullpen.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a family in Calhoun
okay.
that's got a barn, the whole setup. They let us in. Young man, Max was the catcher for Calhoun. He came and was catching him,
mm-hmm.
and he had me step in there
mm-hmm.
while he was throwing.
Yeah,
golly, that was fun. That was awesome.
Yeah,
that ball whizzing by you at like high 80s.
Yeah.
Is crazy.
It's insane. I got one at bat in the major leagues, and because obviously they don't want pitchers up there.
Yeah.
And I had to take the at bat one time. They're like, hey, you're hitting. And I was like, oh boy. I had hit in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Faced a guy throwing 97, and it was like, that's coming in there. But this guy, particular guy, wasn't throwing that hard for the major leagues. He was throwing like 91, 92.
Okay.
But he was left-handed, and he had a ton of sink, so it was moving like just huge movement. And I got in there, and I'll never forget it. I am getting ready to hit. I'm not going to swing the first time because I want to see it, because I haven't seen anything in forever. And he throws the ball, and it's like at me, or at least I thought it was, and it comes back over the plate. And I turn around, and he calls it a strike, and I turn around, and I go, that's inside, right? Like inside corner to the umpire. And him and the catcher laughed. They laughed. It had gone all the way across the plate, and I didn't know.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it just moved so much. I struck out, but it just moves so much. People don't know because the TV doesn't show you at all what it does.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's hard to capture real life on a two-dimensional screen.
Yes, very.
So you were known as a power pitcher, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How do you define what a power pitcher is?
I kind of like a guy who just throws hard and he's going to try to strike you out.
Okay.
And he may throw more pitches than like somebody who's not a power pitcher.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're as a power pitcher, I guess it's not as much about movement, but more about hitting the corners.
So like as a power pitcher, I was mainly, they knew what was coming and I'm just going to try to throw it 100 right by you.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd throw like two different fastballs. So one was kind of straight, but kind of looked like it went up. It's called ride on it.
Yeah.
And the other one was a one seam. It had a lot of horizontal movement and it went down.
Okay.
So you got like one going like this, the other going like that.
Okay.
So you're just really, it's just, they know it's going to be hard, but it's like, which one is it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So going back to college, is that kind of where you started developing these pitches?
Man, again, I was so just mentally, it came on for me later than most people. Like being mature, I was just like just raw, very raw. And I'd say that the development started then, and I can just think back now to like whenever I started doing jiu-jitsu, I remember that I went in there and I had been rolling for a while, and then the guy put me in a spot where I was like, why didn't you teach me this? Like, why? I was asking him, why did you not teach me this? And he goes, dude, you can only correct so much at once. And I was like, that's what I did in baseball.
Okay.
You can't just tell them everything. It'll ruin them. So that's what I try to do with kids too, is like, hey, I can't. The parents are probably thinking sometimes like, he's telling them the same thing all the time. Well, I'm thinking, if I tell them everything, it's going to mess them up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can only give so much at once.
Yeah. It's like thinking about things in your backswing when you're golfing.
Yeah.
You just got to keep it simple.
Oh, have to keep it simple.
And that's coming from a terrible golfer.
Oh, I'm terrible. I don't think you're any worse than me.
Oh, we got to play sometime.
We need to.
Yeah. So when was your ambition that, hey, I could do this at the next level?
I wanted to play baseball in the big leagues probably since before I knew, like, I was saying that, if that makes sense. My mom and dad would tell me that.
Yeah.
I remember, this is not, like, an exaggeration. I remember, so whenever I was a senior, right after I graduated, a guy gave me tickets to the Cardinals game to sit directly behind home plate in those green seats where you did all the free stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was so cool. I was like, man, I'm going to play here someday. And after, like, from pretty much on my senior year until I got drafted and then on until I made it to the big leagues, every day I would be thinking about that all the time. Hey, how can I get here? What do I got to do to get here? I have to do this, this, and this for me to get there. I would be in lecture halls for 2.5 hours in college and not have a clue what the teacher said.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about baseball the whole time.
Yeah.
The entire time.
Yeah.
It would go like that. And that's just all I thought about, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it takes sometimes.
I think so. Yeah, unless you're a freak, there are some of those guys. They just don't care, and they're that good.
Yeah, yeah.
that's the crazy thing is there are those people like that.
I went down to a golf tournament for Georgia football players last year, about a year ago, and they just had it for this year, and there was a wide receiver there, and I was like, this is what Terrell Owens looked like. Mm. When he was in college, like the guy's playing for the Bengals now, and it's like, this guy is a specimen. If I could take like a probably a 4-year-old racehorse and put it in a human being, I'm just absolute freak. That's with all due respect, sir, you're a freak.
I know what you mean. It's crazy.
Yeah. So with Southern Illinois being kind of, it's Division One, but it's not a huge Division One brand.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you start getting some of your exposure there, obviously, or did you kind of start to get some of that in the summer league?
Yeah, so I had it at Southern Illinois because my pitching coach played professionally, so he knows people.
Gotcha.
And then that's just how it works. But in baseball, it seems that it's one of the few sports that seems you don't necessarily have to go to a big school.
Okay.
As long as you have what they want.
All right.
They'll just pull you. Whether your stats don't even have to be that good.
Because
so much is out of your control. Like I can throw an inning really, really well and give up three runs because maybe a guy missed a fly ball in the outfield. He didn't touch it. That's a hit.
Yeah.
It's not an error. That's a hit.
Right.
There's so many things that just so many things can happen. So I think that between that and then the summer leagues as well, I went and played at the Prospect League in Quincy for the Quincy Gyms. And then the year after that, I played in Cape Cod. That place is unbelievable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so the Cape Cod League is like creme de la creme of the summer leagues.
Yeah.
And then what's the other top summer league is Northwoods, right?
Yes.
And so Cape Cod sounds like it's a lot better time than in Northwoods.
I would imagine so. I never played in the Northwoods, but Cape Cod is unbelievable.
I think you can end up in the Dakotas with the Northwoods, which I love being outdoors, and I would find plenty of animals to go after.
Yeah, yeah.
But like for a summer, for a, you know, 21, 22-year-old kid, that's probably a little bit more difficult to consume than being up in Cape Cod.
Yeah, Cape Cod, if you if anyone loves baseball and wants to take their kid or just wants to go themselves, I highly recommend going there for the summer, like, baseball league.
Yeah.
It is incredible.
Okay.
Yeah, incredible.
And then the competition there, is that similar to pros? Because where you're at, you know, physically, mature-wise, you're all probably should be about the same age. There might be some older men in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's almost like, a pretty close intermediate step, I would guess, or
yeah, I would, you know, put it, like, somewhere, depending on the team you're playing, because every team is – one team's loaded with all these guys. Another team is loaded with good players, but not necessarily. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it's somewhere around high A baseball.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
Okay.
And then you could play a game where it's more like double A, if you're depending on your team and the other team. Yeah.
All right.
There's some really good players there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're 19 to 21, mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a young man growing up in Carrollton, baseball is able to take you to a lot of different places.
Yeah.
What are some of the kind of life lessons that you learned by being able to go out and see all these different subcultures, these different areas, these different places throughout the country?
Yeah. I would say that one of the things is that there's just a lot. Baseball fans come in all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
I'd say that a lot of the people that you run across are just down to earth, good, nice people. And then you'll run across some crazy people too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had one time a guy, he came up. Well, I was on the field warming up in the big leagues, and he came up to me and was like, "Hey, can I get a picture?" I was like, "Yeah." Thinking that he's going to like turn around, take a picture of me and him.
Mm-hmm.
He took the phone and put it right next to my face and it was so weird, but that kind of stuff happens all the time. It's just people can be weird.
I'm going to make a mask of your face. I need every detail. That's awesome. Well, let's take a quick break. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers with a mission as simple, kill big deer. For those of you just joining, we have hometown legend Sam Coonrod. We were just talking about his come up in baseball, coming from Carrollton, going to Southern Illinois, and then on to the majors. Sam, you had a pretty lengthy major league career.
I was just constantly hurt. Early on, it went well, and then I started getting hurt, and it just was a battle every single day. If you get hurt one time, major injury, it you're never the same.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. But if you think about it, 9 years, what's the average length of a
– 5 for me, but professionally it was over – technically professionally, like minor leagues and that, I think it was ended up being 11, but 5 in the major leagues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah. That's insane. Yeah. I mean, think about how many people don't even make it to the majors, or think about how many people make it to the majors, they have a rough go, and that was their shot.
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way. I will say I had one moment whenever I was in San Francisco. It took me probably about 3 months of being in the big leagues, and I was out there warming up one day, and I just looked up in the stadium, and I was like, I'm in the major leagues right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Then the rest of the time it's just – but I did have one moment I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Giants, you did something that was like just commendable. I think you did something that most of America felt. And as far as I know, you were the first person not to kneel during the national anthem when that whole thing was going on. Tell me a little bit about that. What was it like kind of leading up to that? Did they tell you that how this was supposed to go? What exactly is that?
From my perspective, it's 2020, you know, you have the shortened season. It was already weird. And it's pretty crazy how it went, because the first spring training, the normal one before the COVID, I was in. I was on the team.
Yeah.
I was already on it. We get cut off and sent home until July. I can't remember what the date was, but we get cut off, sent home until June or July, whenever it was. And then we come back for a second spring training in our home city, San Francisco, for us.
Okay.
And at this point, no one knows who's made the team unless you're under contract, because it's such a shortened season that it's just whoever's doing it at that time is in.
Gotcha.
And I was not doing it at that time.
Okay.
I was struggling to find the zone a little bit, and I just wasn't in. And what happened was, the very last day of spring training, it came down to basically me and another guy, and I pitched the game, and I pitched really well against the A's. It was an exhibition game.
Okay.
And they came to town, and I threw really well. And after the game, I'm assuming I'm going to get told, hey, you made it, or possibly, hey, you didn't make it. But I was kind of slow walking it through the locker room to get at least notified. Never got notified. Get back to my hotel, never got notified. It's like after midnight now, and I get a phone call, and the guy says – the coach, he goes, hey, you didn't make it. We're going to put this other guy on the team. And I was like, not very happy. It was an unpleasant phone call, to say the least, with this coach.
Yeah.
And I told him that I'm not going to be on this team forever, and I'm going to come back and destroy you when I'm on another team.
That's what I told him. I love that.
Yeah. And I even texted the GM, very similar, something like that. Not my best move. But what happened is the following morning, the guy that made the team, his back was messed up that day. So they're like, hey, now you're on the team. So I wasn't on the team, and now I'm on the team. And we're going to L.A., all right? And then about a week before spring training ended, so I wasn't even supposed to be on the team.
Yeah.
Spring training ends. A week before spring training ends, there's like talk of, hey, we're going to do this ceremony where we're holding this cloth together. And I was like, this is just a lot. Like, I don't want to do all this weird stuff. I just kind of want to play baseball, you know?
Right.
And I was like, well, if you're just holding something, standing there before the game, it's like, all right, whatever, whatever. I don't want to do it, but I'm at my limit. All right. I'm at my limit. And, so we get there and we're warming up in LA. And after we're done warming up, it's like, if I had to guess off the top of my head to remember right, it was about 45 minutes before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And our manager, Gabe Kapler, comes in and he goes, hey, I need to have a meeting. And they don't do this. This isn't something you do. You don't have meetings like this before the game. And they're usually done way before so people can stay in the zone. But mm-hmm. he comes in and he says, hey, we're doing a ceremony where we are holding a giant cloth around the field, a black cloth for Black Lives Matter, and we're going to kneel all in unison. And obviously I didn't say anything in the meeting. I'm thinking, I'm not going to do that. And I texted a few people, like, what their thoughts were on this. And I'm like, there's no way I can do this. And I remember one of my buddies who's made, like, probably $100 million. He's a super successful career now.
Yeah.
I was like, he's talking to me, and I'm like, hey, man, I can't do that. I just can't. I'm not going to do it. It'll, like, mess me up if I do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just not be able to continue, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll never forget it. He's like, if you don't do that, that's going to be a bad look. And I was like, at the end of the day, I can't do it any other way, you know? So we get out there, and I remember my buddy who was next to me, another buddy, not the same one. He mm-hmm. goes, I said to him, he goes, I don't want to kneel, but I don't think I can handle all the people, what they're going to say about me afterward, like the media, basically.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I go, when you kneel, don't pull it out of my hand. I'm going to hold on to it. So I'm not going to kneel, but I'm going to hold on to it. And I remember that everyone kneels, and I'm standing there. And I remember it just felt like it was probably 30 minutes, and it was probably only 10, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And I just know that people were not very happy in that area because they're just far, far left.
Right.
And they loved me before that. Loved me. Thought I was like the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know?
Yeah.
Young guy comes in, throws hard. We love this guy. And then he does that. They hated me.
Really?
Hated me. And they said things that I probably could have gone after them for saying, but I didn't. I chose not to.
Wow.
Yeah, they said terrible things. But, yeah, I just remember that two to three weeks later, we were in Colorado, and one of the reporters who was just not a good guy to me, and he asked me, he goes, after spending all this time with your teammates now and playing for – so and so long, do you have you changed your mind, trying to get me to walk it back? And I was like, no, I have not changed my mind. I stand by it. And that just did not make them very happy again. So they just kind of had a target on my back from that. And I didn't throw well that year. I got hurt again. So it was nice to be able to leave there.
Yeah. I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So interesting to me, and this doesn't have a lot to do with what you did, but again, it does so much. At that time, across the bay, Golden State Warriors were probably in some championships, mm-hmm. and I don't even know if you know this, but Clay Thompson,
yeah.
who I wasn't a fan of because mm-hmm. I just wasn't behind. Clay Thompson started to say some stuff about you publicly.
Yeah.
And what was that like, having a NBA star that was out there just lamenting you for just not participating?
Yeah, I remember the first thought to my mind was I wanted to say – so the reason I didn't say anything back was because I remember Buster Posey, who wasn't playing at the time, he took time off for his – two adopted children.
Yeah.
Because of the COVID thing, we didn't, you know.
Right.
Everybody was, a lot of the people were a little bit afraid of it. And I was not one of those people, but a lot of people were afraid of it. And so he took the time off. And I remember him always saying, hey, you want to try to not take away from the team and bring spotlight to you. So I didn't reply to it, but I remember wanting to say so bad to him, you know where I work. Just come over here.
Yeah.
And I said, the parking lot locks. no one has to see him. And I was just so mad that he got to do that, and I didn't get to say anything back. Because if I say something back, now it's like becoming all about that.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, here's the whole deal. Your reason for not participating. You know, you even publicly said is your relationship with Christ, and that's I don't know how you eloquently said it, but it when I read what your response was, it was pretty eloquent, pretty detailed, that I only kneel before God. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, there was during that time the number of people that said, I'm not watching NFL anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, consuming this product anymore because I don't feel that this fairly represents America or me. You know, I don't ever want to take something away from somebody. I don't think you do either. But if something is infringing upon me and my beliefs, and you're the first person that had the platform that actually made that stance, stayed standing.
Yeah.
So hats off to you. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
If you look at sports today, you see, and you know, Facebook, Instagram, there's all kinds of made up stuff out there. But if you look at the number of professional athletes that aren't participating in this, you know, ancillary, you know, they're doing it for the flair, they're doing it for the, that aren't participating, to think that you were the first, that's incredible, man. That to me is history.
I've never thought about it that way. But yeah, you do see a lot of people doing that now. Like they're just saying, hey, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that.
Right. Like I just don't want to be involved in that stuff.
It's not hard. All you got to do is just play the game.
Exactly.
They don't come for that. They come for the game.
We're here to play baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that, you know, obviously I don't think that you were, you know, poo-pooing for radio terms on the BLM movement. It's just, I don't want to participate.
I don't need any of that. They said some stuff about nuclear family being no good and all that, and I was just like, I can't do this.
Right.
I can't do this.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, you don't, you know, you talk about, you know, someone's preferences or where they come from. You know, most people aren't evil. Most people's intent isn't malicious.
Yeah.
So for media to try and make it, or for somebody to try and make it a malicious, you know, or just vehicle, it's such a big, to me, important moment in time that it's, I'm proud that I live in this area. I'm proud that the guy from Carrollton, which, by the way, full circle, you would not know this, but and I'm sure there were many celebrations when you got your first contract, when you got drafted. But I was actually at the Oasis that night.
You were there whenever I was there then?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was sitting there eating.
Wow.
I was so at that time, I would Friday night, I would typically go treat myself to a dinner at the Oasis. I would get the O-Burger and the fritters, the pork fritters.
They're good.
At that time, I had the metabolism to do that. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm there and start getting loud. People start hooting, hollering, and celebrating. And I had heard that, you know, this kid from Carrollton got drafted, but then it, you know, all kind of full circle.
That's wild.
Yeah. So I was actually there that night.
That is wild.
Yeah.
You just don't know what you don't know.
I know, right? Right? Well, let's take another break real quick, and we'll hear a word from the sponsors. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. For those of you just tuning in, Sam Coonrod, Sam, you know, coming from a small town, having achieved so much already, are you just kind of in a spot where you're just sitting back, relaxing, and kind of just looking at the world as to, you know, where do we go next? Or do you have kind of, you know, thoughts as to where you want to go?
Yeah, I try not to sit back at all. I have kids now, so there's no sitting back.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it's everyday chaos, honestly.
Yeah.
Total chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Two boys chaos.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Does it remind you and your brother?
I think so, but my mom told me that we did listen pretty good. My two are wild. They say twos is kind of like that.
Yeah.
So maybe hopefully it's just twos, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough.
We ought to just build a ring
and
put the boys in there together.
Yeah.
A little Royal Rumble.
Stay in there.
To nap time. Uh-huh. All right. And then, so I've seen some videos and stuff online. You're still doing a lot of working out. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't post it as much as I probably, my wife wants me to get some Instagram stuff going, but
yeah,
I should probably start doing that, 'cause it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw the one where, you were, I think you had a barbell and you were doing like a upward row.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, hey, I might have a torn lat, but this is how you train it. That was awesome.
Yeah, I remember that my last outing, I got signed by the Twins like during the game or right before, and it wasn't finalized. I was with the Grizzlies over here,
mm-hmm.
and Gateway Grizzlies, and the Twins signed me, so it wasn't finalized. So I was still part of the Grizzlies, and I pitched in the game, and I tore my lat, and it was like I probably threw about 8 to 10 pitches after that, and I knew it was torn. Because mm-hmm. I had done it 3 times. That was the third time. And I was like, I'm not going to leave until I get this last out. And because I'm done playing now. And I knew I was done. And I just said, I'm going to finish this. And I get out, finish the inning, get out after the game. And I found out it was torn off the bone. So I was like, that's all she wrote. But I finished the game, finished the inning.
Yeah. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Did it for you.
Yeah.
That's nice. So, with the training, are you training similar to how you trained, or has that changed a little bit?
It changes a little bit. I used to try to squat as basically heavy as possible.
Okay.
And I don't squat as heavy anymore, but I try to train more stuff for like fighting more.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't been able to do that, the martial arts, lately because of kids, but it's very soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's just like, it changes the way you think when you do that stuff. I remember one time I was rolling with this guy. I was the odd man out, pretty new, and he was teaching the class, so he was far better than me. He's actually bigger than me, too, so he was similar to your size, and he was, I think, a higher belt in judo as well and really good at jiu-jitsu, very good. And I rolled with him in the first movement. There wasn't an agreement that we were going slow. We were both going pretty hard. And first movement is we got in a spot where I kind of used strength, and it was a strength position.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got the better of him in that spot because it was just pure strength.
Yeah.
And he didn't care for that too much.
Right.
And I wasn't trying to be mean or anything. It was just where we were. And as soon as he got himself out, from that point on, he just was as heavy as he possibly could, trying to stop my breathing, trying to get me to tap without choking me out.
Yeah. Right?
And I remember that he got me in a gift wrap and he tightened it up as tight as he could without choking me. And I never tapped out, and it felt like I won because he could not make me. He could not make me tap. He could have made me tap anytime he wanted by choking me out.
Right.
He chose to make it miserable.
Right.
And I just stayed the course, and I feel like I won.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the beauty of jiu-jitsu. I haven't done a whole lot of it, but it's like these little moments.
Yeah.
And just learning from Kyle, talking to him about it, you know, there's a lot of like underlying things that I never realized.
Yeah.
Like if you're, so for example, if what I learned recently is you should never tap the instructor.
I wouldn't want to.
Right. Right. But like you just don't. You don't know these things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the whole white belt thing where being a white belt, you come in and you go so hard.
Yeah.
And it's like there's a period where you need to learn to relax.
Yeah.
Take it patient. You're going to get tapped. It's okay.
Yeah.
Right? And just learn.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, when you're in a strength position, you get so few opportunities to actually do something. It's like, I want to do it. But good for you for not letting him impose his will.
He did.
That's
awesome. He was trying. But again, like I said, he could have taken me anytime he wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah. They're animals. Those guys are.
So let's talk a little bit about the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
What, you do a little deer hunting.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your, you know, outdoors hobbies?
I always struggle between which one I like more.
Mm-hmm.
It might be fishing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It is so hard. But at the end of the day, I think I'm going to side with guns every time because I just really enjoy using the guns that I have, shooting in general. But it's just it's a balance between fishing and hunting, which I can't say which one I like more. I don't know. But they're both just so much fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. With the shooting, are you talking long distance, close range?
It would be more close range, I would assume what you would consider close range, like 200, and it's not like 1,000 or anything like that.
But long gun.
Yeah, the only the biggest range I've ever been to was I think it was 600-ish yards. So I've never even been to a range that have the 1,000-plus yards.
Oh, yeah, I have not done that either.
Yeah.
There's so much that goes into, even as an outfitter, I'm just a rookie when it comes to ballistics.
Oh, there's a lot.
Yeah. So they did that straight wall cartridge. And, you know, everybody get your you know, DNR regulations out. don't listen to me right now. But there's actually a neck down version that's available as long as it's not over an inch and an eighth or something like that.
I didn't know that.
Right. And then if you look, there's like a full page of acceptable cartridges in Illinois.
It didn't know any of that.
It's just not. It's not the 450 and the 400 and the 350 and the 44, 45, 70, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm such a rookie when it comes to long gun ballistics.
I use the 350 Legend. I was using a 12 gauge first, then I was going to use my brother's 20.
Okay.
Because a lot of people like the 20.
Oh, they're sweet.
I like it.
Yeah.
And then I have a 350 Legend, which I used, and if I'm being honest with you, it seems almost like it's not totally fair.
Really?
I don't know. I'm a rookie to deer hunting compared to you, but it just seems like it's, I don't know, it just seems not quite as fair to the deer almost.
That makes sense. I mean, I guess you don't want technology to exceed,
that's what I'm getting at,
you know, conservation.
Yeah.
But the reality of it, in my opinion, is if you have a proficient shooter, that 20 gauge with the Sabot, you know, long as your gun likes your ammo, because, you know, depending on the gun, you might not get the results with the brand of ammo that you want.
Yeah.
You could be proficient out to about 200.
Yeah.
And then I'd say that 350 might take it out to 225, right? And then you get into that 450, you might be getting out to 250.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a bunch of people out there that would beg to differ, but it's not giving you as much of an advantage.
Uh-huh.
But when you get into those more AR style guns, doesn't it feel cool?
In Missouri, like that, I don't think there's like, you can use kind of whatever you want, and these people will, they'll hear me say, hey, using a shotgun, Illinois, you know, because most people would use a shotgun and couldn't for a while use anything else, and they're just like, shotgun. Why are you not using a 308 or blah, 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 300 mm-hmm. blackout? And I'm like, well, you can't do that here. But I think, honestly, I think I'm just going to go move towards a 20 gauge. It just seems, I just like it.
I've got a guy who's hunted with me from Wisconsin, and they're a rifle state. And so he bought one of those. It's the Savage 220. And he bought one and to come down here and gun hunt. And now he uses the Savage 220 in Wisconsin. He just he just likes it that much. So it's, you know, I'm sure there's some coefficients or other big words that really matter to people that are, you know, marksmen and know the skill of long guns, but as just a basic hunter, a 20 gauge is a super sweet.
I need to get one. Savage 220, that's what everybody says. I need to get one. I don't have it yet, and I need to get it.
All right. Scope that thing out with that loophole. Those things, they have one scope that's actually like made for the gun.
Okay.
What I did with mine is I put one way, way too big for the gun. Like I put probably a, I put a rifle scope on it. Because I didn't ever want somebody to say I couldn't get the scope on it. Because I, you know, I
like let hunters use it. What's the magnification?
It's probably an 8 or a 9 power. Like it's like I said,
You're right there on it.
Yeah, it's close. You could put it on a 400 or 500 yard gun and be it is a scope. It is a scope. A scope costs as much as the gun, if not more. But you know, I figured I'd have hunters using it, and I just wanted it to be the best I could. I actually got it from Bob at Outrageous before he closed down. So I gotta ask. Bow hunting.
I need to get into it.
Have you thought about this?
I need to get into it. Yeah, I've not done it.
Okay.
I had a lot of friends whenever you pitch, I had a lot of like friends that your rotator cuff is like worn.
Yes.
When you throw. So like I had guys that were pulling back and they would kind of strain it. And I was like, that's a kind of a no-go whenever you're planning to do something. You don't want to strain your oblique from golf, and you don't want to just do anything outside, you know, because this is a big deal if you get hurt.
Right.
So I kind of stayed away from it, but now it's time. And my lat's healed, so it's time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how far is the mound from the plate?
60 feet, 6 inches.
Okay. 20 yards.
Yeah.
Young man Colton, pitched for Georgia, hunted with me last year. I have to say, of the people that have hunted with me, I've never had more confidence with somebody at 20 yards. You know what I mean? Like your job for however many years was hitting the box, right? So that skill, and now you have all this kinetic energy. To me, that just is a natural fit.
I sure hope so. I mean, I had a guy one time tell me this guy had pitched in multiple World Series. He's World Series champion. He should be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not. And I remember him telling me, he goes, when I get ready to kill a deer, I am more nervous than I am when I was in the World Series. And I said, what are you talking about? But yeah, he was dead serious.
Being that close,
yeah,
you know, nothing, not poo-pooing gun hunting, but
yeah,
a bow hunt starts where a gun hunt ends.
Yeah, I think that bow hunting is I haven't done it yet, but it just seems like it's like real. That's tough.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems tough.
Yeah,
like you got to get it in. It ain't just like, oh, there's my scope, bam. You know what I mean?
Well, so there's an intermediate step. They're not as popular. There are a lot of colorful memes about them, but crossbows, totally legal.
Yeah. My brother has one. They're sweet. But I feel like I just want to go into the compound right away. It just seems like it just more of a challenge, you know?
It is.
Yeah.
But you got to start practicing.
Right.
You know? And I think, so many. We had a guy this past year shot an absolute monster with a 400, 400 Legend at 18 yards. So it's like, you know, a gun hunt can end up super close, and you get that experience. But then when it's the goal is to get that close, it just kind of amplifies that.
I just don't. Yeah. I think I will be much more nervous because I don't really get a whole lot of nervous. Like when the deer comes out with a gun, it's just whenever I feel like I will with the bow though.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, there's so much more that can go wrong.
Yeah.
You got so much more, man. I've had a target deer behind me, a deer that I saw him on one side of the farm. Somehow the wind shifted or something. He busted me. It was two bucks late season. They were traveling together. And so I knew they weren't going to be back there. Wind changed. I switched to a different spot. I had them coming up this creek bottom, and they were right behind me. And just a little scratch of my jacket sent them off, and I was never able to harvest that deer. Mm. It was late season. I had those two interactions. The wind got me on one. The noise of my jacket on a tree got me on the other. And it's just so much. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, so. It makes you appreciate all that stuff in the old days, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, using a bow. I don't know. It's very appealing to me.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you out there. If you want to go, you just let me know. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, I need to get out there bad.
All right.
Yeah.
So
they have a place here, right? There's an archery place, I think, in Jerseyville.
Well, there was Outrageous Outdoors. Anymore. They just closed down.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it Pittsfield then?
Pittsfield, and then Southwestern.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So running out of time, but I want to touch on one more topic. You're coaching kids right now.
Yeah, I just give lessons, and currently it's just in Jacksonville, Illinois, pitching lessons. Yeah.
And, you know, what kind of age groups are you working with?
I actually have one coming in today. He's young. It's usually in the 9 to high school range, anywhere from that, 9 to 18. But this kid, I think today, is 7 or 8. So he just wanted to pitch. So his dad, I know his dad, so he bringing him in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so most of the time it's just that. I'd say the majority is like the 6th, 7th, 8th grade, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. So it's an opportunity to kind of learn proper fundamentals.
Just not get hurt like me is the biggest thing. I mean, teach you, obviously, how to throw better, but just trying not to get hurt.
With the motions.
Yeah, just rip your arm apart like me.
Right.
Trying to stay away from that.
Right.
Probably still be playing if I didn't have that initial injury.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what a great resource, man. The kids here in this local area. You know, I think everybody's real proud of you. And
I hope, but I don't know.
Well, I don't say that to make it like a weight to carry, but you know, you represented the area very well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know that there are a lot of people thankful for that.
Yeah.
So all right, man. Well, thanks again for coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Me too.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the next time. Maybe get out there, shoot some bows.
Teach me a lot.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Thanks. All right.